It is so good. We have our pastor, Dr. Quek, and he will preach on Hold Fast, the Will and Work of God. And I pray that as you hear, you will keep praying, that you will get much, much more out of the sermon than otherwise. God bless.
Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to John chapter 4, for that is where we shall focus our message on. John chapter 4, which records the encounter between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Samaritan woman. Hold fast the will and work of God. As long as there is breath in our body, we act according to our will. The issue is whether we are doing our own will or the will of God. These are the two options available to every one of us. If you are not a Christian yet, then you will be doing your own will. If you are a Christian, you can either be doing your own will or the will of your Heavenly Father. For the unbeliever, he has no option but to do his own will. His own will, which is derived from a heart that the Bible describes as totally depraved, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the accumulation of wealth and the enjoyment of this life will be his lot. And this would occupy his heart, soul, and mind and strength. And by the end of life's journey, the Bible describes that every one of us, when we breathe our last breath as a sinner without Christ, we will face the judgment of God. There is no annihilation. The Bible tells us we will end up in hell because even our good works, from God's perspective, are as filthy rags. That's our own will. That's the outcome of anyone who is without Christ, who would do and continue to do his own will. Man may heap upon you all sorts of accolades, but from God's perspective, our own will is wretched. Our own will is self-righteous. Our own will comes from a heart that is filled with sin. And therefore, anything that we touch will be stained by sin. And therefore, our good works will definitely fall short of God's glory. And it will not count at all for eternity. But on the other hand, if you are a child of God, you have two options. You can either go your own way and do your own will, or you can do the will and the work of God the Father. That option is yours and mine, if you are a Christian, to choose. Will I lose my salvation if I were to choose my own will? 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that there will be some, sadly, on the day of judgment, where when our works will be tested by fire, to see if it is made of gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble, describing the works of a Christian. And if it is for our own gains, for our own personal entertainment, for our own personal enjoyment without any regard for God or His people or of any spiritual value, then it will belong to the classification called wood, hay, and stubble, and it will be burned up. But our salvation will still be secured. It's as if being plucked out from destruction by fire. In other words, we will be saved by the skin of our teeth. The reason why this is recorded, perhaps, is to record a warning to all of us. Just because we are saved, just because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot allow ourselves to be lax, to let our guard down and to be sleep most of the time. where we are no more vigilant, we are no more watchful. Because some of us think that once I'm saved, I have been promised a place in heaven, my place in heaven is secure, now I can do whatever I want, whether I do the will or the work of God, it does not matter. It matters. It matters a whole lot. For in this particular account, the Lord Jesus Christ had to teach the disciples a very precious lesson. They were disciples who were already born again. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ. They already have the Holy Spirit of God in them. And yet, in this encounter, you realize that their heart and their minds were occupied with worldly things. Things that you and I may do on a day-to-day basis as part and parcel of our life, that we won't even give it a second thought. But the Lord Jesus Christ wanted them to have a second thought. And He wanted us this morning to also take a very good look into our day-to-day needs and to see beyond it something more eternal rather than something temporal. You may ask, where do I find this place where I can do the will and the work of God? Is it found only in church? Is it found in my home? Where is this found? Verses 25 to 30 describe to us the tail end of a conversation that the Lord Jesus Christ had with the Samaritan woman. And at the same time, it records for us the return of His disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in verse 24, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then we have the response of the Samaritan woman. The woman said unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. So she had sufficient knowledge concerning the coming Messiah. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. And so with this message, having tasted the goodness and the grace of God, for by this time she was already born again, she carried this message back home to her hometown. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? So after she had left to go back to her hometown to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell her friends and all the people that she had encountered the Messiah, and these people will come later on from verse 39 onwards. But the focus now shifts to the disciples who have just returned with food all in their hands. They went to buy food for the Master and for themselves. But they noticed Him talking to this woman. And according to their Jewish custom, you're not supposed to talk to a woman in public, not even to your wife. A woman is, in that age and time, literally a second-class citizen. Not only in the eyes of the Jews, but also in the eyes of the Romans. And to make matters worse, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to a Samaritan woman, where a Jew is not allowed to enter into the home of a non-Jew, for that would defile him. And to sit down and talk with a Samaritan woman in public was something undone. You don't do that. Especially if you are a rabbi, you are someone who is of dignity and position. You do not dirty yourself, as it were, by speaking publicly to a Samaritan woman. But apparently the disciples have very high regard for the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not say anything. They kept quiet. They did not ask Him. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Why talkest thou with her? Perhaps all these questions were in their heart, but they kept silent. They did not say anything. The woman then left the water pot, went her way unto the city, and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto Him. So the focus is like sometimes when you watch a movie, trying to portray two events at the same time. So one moment you watch this particular scene and then you shift your focus to another scene. And what we have here is something simultaneous. The disciples came, the woman left, the woman went back home to talk to the men, to witness. The contrast is this. The disciples, completely oblivious Their minds are all occupied with their makan, their lunch, their dinner. Like many of us, having our breakfast, lunch and dinner is not something that we think about too much, because it is something that we do all the time. We must do it. For tomorrow, there will be breakfast, lunch and dinner, just as there was breakfast this morning, and then lunch afterwards, and then dinner tonight. It's a done deal. We don't think a second thought about it, unless maybe the doctor says you have some heart problem or you have to go on a diet, then you become more careful. But you still must eat. Just eat carefully, that's all. Eating to satisfy this physical body of ours, this physical need, is something we don't give a second thought. And to the disciples, that's all they care about at this point in time. It's nothing wrong to think about your lunch, your dinner. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, He occupied Himself with something far more important. He did not allow the satisfaction of having a meal to cause Him to forget what the will of the Father was. It may appear to the disciples as just an ordinary encounter, just an ordinary day. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not an ordinary day. It was not an ordinary encounter, because in the first part of chapter 4 of this verse, the Bible said that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. So it was a deliberate encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ had with a Samaritan woman. You see, the field for us to do the will of God the Father is all around us. It's not just on Sunday. It's not to sign up for YF or YAF or the AF or in any of the ministries in the church that classify it as doing the will of God the Father. It includes this. But this is only one narrow aspect. Our day-to-day encounter with people. This is the field where we are to do and exercise the will of God the Father. Our homes, if you have non-Christian parents, that is part of this field. Your workplace, your schools, do not just occupy your heart and mind in studying. How you study, take time whenever you can. During lunch, for example, share the gospel with your classmates. If you are in national service, do likewise while you're in the platoon, in your barracks. Share the gospel with your mates. In your workplace, don't just occupy your heart and mind in getting that mighty dollar. During lunchtime, share a good word for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you buy your lunch, have a tract in your pocket. Don't just give the money, give the money and the tract. I need to do this as well. Very often forgetting that everywhere we go, this is the field where we can do the will of our Heavenly Father. More than just to satisfy our own needs, there is the will of the Father that is far more important than satisfying our own physical needs, including eating, including drinking, including bringing the bread and the butter home for our family. There is something that is spiritual, that the Lord Jesus Christ was always very conscious of, that His will and the work of God for His life was very real to Him. Every moment of every day, it was real, whether it was in prayer, solitude time that He spent with the Lord, with His Father, or time spent with the disciples, or even time that He had to rebuke the Pharisees and call them hypocrites. He was very conscious of the eternal dimension in His life and the influence that He could do in the lives of the people around Him. You could even do the will and the work of the Father while you are waiting for your MRT train. There are many people there. Jesus did not know of the Samaritan woman as if she was an old friend. They met for the first time. So you and I cannot use that excuse and say that, well, I must only witness to people that I know, my colleagues in the workplace. It could even include the total stranger at the bus stop. You have the tract burning in your pocket, take it out and give it to the person. Take it out and give it to the person in the MRT station. Every day when we wake up, the people that God brings into our life is the field where we do the will and the work of the Father. Not just in church on Sunday. It includes the Lord's Day. But it does not exclude Monday to Saturday. All 7 days, the moment you wake up, where you make decision. My will or the Father's will? My will or the Father's will? That's the option. That's the choice we make every day. And the field, the people around us, your wife, your husband, your children. When you leave the house, the stranger that you meet, your neighbor in the lift, everyone that you meet on that day, the entire day that you meet until you come home, lay down and sleep. That is your field. And the next day, the same thing again. The field is there, in other words. It's whether we take stock, whether we are aware that this is the field, this is the ministry that God has for me. As an unbeliever, you're excused. You have only one option, that is to do your own will. Until and unless you see the need of a Savior because of sin in your life. You cannot do the Father's will even if you want to. You can't. Because the Bible says, we are His enemies. Unless there is reconciliation between you and God, your sins must be dealt with. And once that is dealt with, the way that God dealt with the sin of the Samaritan woman, she was thoroughly converted, and she now experienced what it means to know the will of the Father. And one of that was to go back and tell people about Christ, and that's what she did. She was so elated and so happy that she found the Messiah. Her own will is no more now that she has been given the will of the Father. She was so happy, so delighted. The first thing that she did, went there to tell them about, I have known the Messiah, I found the Messiah. Oh, was she there for the first time? To get water from the well. She forgot all about the water from the well. All she now cared about is the living water that is bubbling forth in her heart. Remember that day when you were first saved by the blood of Christ? Your encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ many, many years ago. Remember the bubbling forth from within your heart where you walk on cloud nine. You feel like dancing, you feel like shouting and tell the whole world that I am a Christian. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that day? Or has that day become something like a distant memory? Because of the love of the world. Has caused our heart to grow cold, that we have forgotten the will of God, now we care about only our own will. And when we wake up, what we see is just a world where I can accumulate as much gold and silver as I possibly can to increase the comforts of my life and do my own will and to satisfy my heart's desire. Hold fast to the will and work of God. If we are a Christian, are we Christians? Do we really know in our heart that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior? If He is my Lord, my Savior, my Master, then I must do His will. I cannot afford to do my own will. Because the field is all around us. And what we need to do is to look at everything that is inside us. To be honest and true. Let's look into our own hearts. Verse 31 to 32. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. All they care about is eat. Sounds familiar? And He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought Him aught to eat? I mean, He has already eaten. Did someone else brought Him food? They could not understand. They were so obsessed with just satisfying their growling stomach. All they care about is how to fill their stomachs. Their own heart's desire. They have forgotten that God once upon a time called them, I will make you fishers of men. Remember that? We have been given a great commission. Go into the world and make disciples. Teach all nations all that you have learned, the word of God. Love the Lord by loving His word. The field is all around us. The problem is all that's inside us, isn't it? The heart. We can't blame the field. We can't blame the things that are around us. It's our reaction and our response to these things that is the problem. And that's inside. Inside you, inside me. That is the problem. That is the key. And so long as we do not deal with the inside, no matter how we may mortify the outside, it will not help. Because the problem is the inside. Sometimes we think that we can solve our problems by migration. Leave Singapore, go somewhere else with a new environment all around us, everything will be well. And that's what some people do too. They leave a church, they leave their country, perceiving that with a new environment and a new beginning, we can leave our problems behind and they will not come back and bite us. And some people did that and will continue to do that. They will leave their old church, leaving behind a host of problems. And then they will come into this church. They come to another church, hoping that all these problems will be left behind and nobody would know. Be sure your sin will find you out, the Bible says. And then the next thing is, they will create the same problem that they started over there, over here. Or to any other church. Because the problem is not with the church, it's not with the people in the church, it's not with the leaders in the church, it's inside. Inside. So long as we do not deal with the inside, no matter what the church may make available, it will do us no good. You can lead the horse to the water trough. If the horse refuses to drink, there's nothing you can do. We provide all the fellowship groups. We provide all the avenues of ministry. We provide the evening service. All that we think and hope as leaders, as under-shepherd of God's children, that which is necessary to help God's people to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can only do so much, provide the externals. But if there is no internal desire, if we continue to see only the food on the table, the meat is how to satisfy my growling stomach. All these things will be completely, like the disciples, blind to it, oblivious. Oblivious. Did they see the Samaritan woman in need of the Savior? No. Did they see the man in the cities of Samaria in need of the Savior? No. They were prejudiced. I can't go into Samaria. That's the dirty city. I can't go there. It's unclean. I will dirty myself. They were very happily going through the motion and satisfying their own needs. They just hang around the Savior, the Master. Just observe, and gain all the head knowledge. But as far as the heart condition, no. There was a father who once upon a time asked the first son to do a particular task. The son said yes, but he did not do it. Then he asked the second son. The second son said no, and he did it. And so the Lord Jesus asked the disciples, which son did the will of the father? The answer is obvious, the second son. God is not interested in our lip service. God is not interested in empty words that spill out from our mouth every Sunday morning, singing wonderful hymns with right theology, without a good heart, without the right heart, meaning every word that we sing, desiring to hold fast to the will and the work of God, my Heavenly Father. But instead, very often, we hold fast to our own will, to satisfy our own desire, to do our own thing, because this is the way now, especially the young people. Do our own thing. Don't listen to mom and dad. Honor father and mother. That's old fashioned. We are now in the 21st century. We need our parents to honor us, not the other way around. You can see this in many invitation cards to weddings. So and so, the bride and the groom invite all of you to our wedding. There used to be a time where the parents would invite. Even something as simple and as straightforward as this. We do not know what to do. When was the last time when you had a meal with your children and children greet you before they start eating? After you give thanks for the food, your children simply say, Mom and dad, yeah, have a good meal. That's something in the past. Simple things like this. Children wake up in the morning, do they greet mom and dad? Good morning, mom. Good morning, dad. Simple. Simple things. Now we do our own will. Our children do it. We do it. We pass it on to our children. And holding fast to the will of God the Father is a thing of the past. Would you like to do the will of the Father from henceforth every day of your life? Let's see how the Lord Jesus Christ was able to do it. And He did it perfectly, without mistake. Let's see how He did it. Verse 34. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ did it. If you are a child of God, this must be our heart's cry and our heart's desire. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. That's number one. He says, it is my meat, my greatest desire in life and in purpose. My meat is not to satisfy my growling stomach. Important that it may be. Real though that may be. But my meat, Jesus says, is to do the will of my Father. To Him, it was His life's purpose. It was His everything. He was totally absorbed in doing the will of God. And this absorption allowed Him to forget even His tiredness, to forget His wants. He was so intent in doing the will of the Father that He was able to rise above fatigue, hardship, and He was able to bear all these with joy and with pleasure, not just going through the motion. He delighted in sharing the gospel with the Samaritan woman. He couldn't care about the prejudice. He couldn't care about what the others would think of Him, that you are a rabbi, you're going to be unclean. He was totally absorbed with just doing the will of His Heavenly Father. And if so long as you and I do not have this absorption, this determination, this heart's desire, the same kind of hunger that we feel in our physical body, Jesus felt in His spiritual soul, in His spiritual body, that He was prepared to do the will of the Father, no matter what the cost, no matter what the price, no matter how tired He might be, when it comes to doing the will of the Father, He will rise above the occasion. He will not allow His tiredness, His sleepy eyes to prevent Him from doing the will of the Father. That's difficult, isn't it? But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. As a child of God, do you see that you are more than just flesh and blood? Do you not see that as a child of God, you wrestle against principalities in high places? The key is prayer. The key is to commune with God on a day-to-day basis without ceasing. That's the key. That's the secret. And to spend time reading God's Word, to make the study of God's Word your priority. Thank God that many from Pandan attend the night classes in FEBC, Monday and Thursday. And many of you will take the quizzes as well as the exam and do all the assignments. Praise the Lord. Hope that you will continue to have this pursuit and this desire in your heart. Because the Bible says we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge. You cannot grow in grace without the knowledge. Sadly, many of us do not study God's Word the way we ought to. We just go through the motion. On Sunday, perhaps, for many of us, that's the first time in the entire week that we open the Bible. But other than that, the Bible is just somewhere on the desk or on the shelf, unopened. That is the meat for the Christian. We feel our heart ache so much when some thieves break into our homes and rob us of our personal belongings. We feel the pain when someone scratches our brand new car. We feel something when somebody slights our name. But when the Word of God comes under attack, This is our food. This is where we know the will and the work of God, the Bible. We feel nothing. There is no feeling in our hearts when the Word of God comes under attack that reflects how cold our heart is toward our Savior. Because this is the Holy Book. This is the Word of God where we know the heart and the mind of God. This is the book where we know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the book where we know the will and the work of the Father, that if we were to obey every word of it, we know that it will bring glory to His holy name. That whatever we do according to Holy Scriptures will be found pleasing in God's sight, that at the end of life's journey, God will say to us, "Well done, welcome home, my good and faithful servant." And when the book is attacked, when people say that there are mistakes in the Bible, we keep silent. There is no cry in our heart to rise up and defend the Word of God. But we defend our house, we defend our car, we defend our own name, but we allow people to attack the Word of God. That's why our meat is not to do the will of the Father which is in heaven. Our meat is to satisfy our carnal desires. And sadly, that is the definition of Christianity today. Is this the definition of Christianity in your life? In my life? Saved by Christ to be put on the shelf and to do nothing. And just let the years go by, and before we know it, we are knocking on death's door. And all we have to look forward to is just one gigantic life of regret, of wasted years. And then we weep and we sorrow and we cry, and we know that all these will be called too little too late. Now is the day of salvation. Now is also the day of service. To do the will and the work of God the Father. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, today. For tomorrow, that's procrastination. Yesterday, that's crying over spilt milk. It's spilt. Don't cry over it. Do something today, right now, where there is still breath. Ask the Lord to give you the strength to make doing the will and the work of the Father our meat. Our obsession, if necessary. If that is what it takes. Our absorption, our obsession. Love Him and obey Him. To love Him and not obey Him is lip service. And God is not interested in lip service. Don't just start well. End well. Because that's what the last part of verse 34 says. And to finish His work. Don't just start it. Don't just do it for the next month or next year. Start right now and carry it on right until you breathe your last breath or until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. That's what it means to hold fast to the will and the work of Christ, work of God. To begin and to finish. You begin in faith, you continue in faith, and you end in faith. That's holding fast. Don't let go. There will be many, many people, many, many occasions and circumstances that may cause us to turn to the left and turn to the right. But you must continue on in the straight and narrow path. No matter what the darkness, whether it is painful, whether it is difficult, no matter what it may be, walk the straight and narrow path. Hold on to the will and the work of the Father. With God's help, Jesus promised us, "The yoke is easy and the burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Would you? Would you? And then you will find rest in your soul. To do the work and the will of the Father is that which will give the Christian the joy and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. If you are a child of God, you continue to do your own will and your own way. You know there is great discomfort within your soul. If there is no great discomfort and you still feel the peace in your heart, then please check your own salvation. There is a problem somewhere where you can disobey your Heavenly Father and you feel nothing about it. But if there is, praise God, deal with it. Come back to the Lord. Would you? Would you come back to the Lord? while it is still day, and hold fast to the will and the work of God. You may have done so last year. And you may find that right now your life is filled with all sorts of problems from many different angles, many different directions, and you find it so tired. One of the hardest verses to obey in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 15:58, a verse that we all know very well. Therefore, my beloved brethren, what does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the work of the Lord, all things you do and I do will not be in vain. To remain steadfast and unmovable, continue always to abound in the work of the Lord is a very, very difficult verse to hold on to. It's easy to say, it's easy to memorize. But to remain steadfast, don't move, don't allow anything to shake you and to move you from this path, from this stance that you have determined in your heart to keep. Not to defile yourself, not to allow sin, not to allow all sorts of impurity to come into your heart, into your life. Hold fast the will and the work of God, remain steadfast and immovable. Continue to do the work of God, even if everybody around you may be capitulating, you stand firm. Stand firm. Even if all your friends ostracize you, you hold fast to your best friend, Jesus Christ, and do His will. In your workplace, even if they sack you, you hold fast. Would you? Would you hold fast? Not just last year, but until your work is finished. Until God says to you, time to come home, my son. Time to come home, my daughter. Hold fast. All the way until the work is done. Remember what Jesus said, the last three words before He died on the cross. It is finished. He held fast to the very end. Don't procrastinate. Say not ye there are yet 4 months, because that's the time period in Palestine when you first plant the seed, 4 months before the harvest time comes. There are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Look at the field around you. Look at your home, look at your wife, your husband, your children. Husbands and wives, if your relationship is not well in the Lord, fix it. Don't procrastinate, don't delay. Whatever the situation, whatever the problem, fix it, please. Fix it. Come together on bended knees and ask for the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with that problem, that sin, whatever it might be. It could be an unforgiving heart. It could be a particular sin. Deal with it. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait. And be God's witness. The fields are white already to harvest. In the language of the farmer, the grain would begin with green color, and then it will turn yellow, and then finally it will turn white. And that's the sequence. And so it is very obvious if you look at the wheat fields. When it is all green, you know that it is not ready. When it is yellow in color, you know that it is about time. When it is white, the farmer would have no doubt, know for sure that it is now ready to harvest. If you don't do it right now, it will be too late because the locust can come, the storm may come, the wind may come, and the rain may come and destroy the crop. It is white, it is ready, the time is now. Do not lose the opportunity. Do not lose it. Grab hold of it. The stranger that you meet at the bus stop and the MRT may be the first and last time you will ever see that stranger again. The day may not come back. Because tomorrow it will be a new stranger, it will be a new face. And the next day will be a new stranger, another new face. And it will go on and on, and Jesus says, there are those out there whom I have elected who will be ready. They are all ready to hear the gospel, to hear the truth. But what if I share and give the tract and they do not respond immediately? Jesus covered that in verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth food unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. You may be just a sower. God may have somewhere along this man's life a reaper, where the person may just give another track, another encounter with another Christian, that may be the last and final straw that will break the camel's back. You will be that sower. You may not even know that there will be a reaper somewhere, maybe a month or 2 months down the road, where there another person God will send to be the reaper. You will know in heaven. God will make it known to you in heaven that on that day, you may be totally oblivious, you may not even be aware of it, but that particular track would be that little seed. That little seed. And the person may react vehemently, may be very angry with you, but the seed is sown. And that's all that is needed. And that's what you and I need to do and to remember. Conviction and conversion is the work of God. What we are required to do is to give the gospel seed. You may be the reaper. Someone else may have planted the seed many months ago, many weeks ago. And you may be the reaper. And you praise the Lord that you can pray the prayer of salvation with a sinner and lead the person to the Savior, to know the Lord. And that will be one of the greatest blessings and experience that anyone could ever enjoy, to lead someone to Christ, knowing that this person is now a child of God, delivered from the bondage of sin, whom he was just a moment ago bound for hell, and now he is a friend of God, a child of God bound for heaven. And you have been used by God to bring this about by God's grace and God's mercy. That kind of experience money cannot buy. Hold fast to the will and the work of God. Hold fast to the very end. Don't let go. Don't allow the bodily needs to distract us from the spiritual great commission that Jesus Christ has given to all of us as His children. The field is there. It is our day-to-day encounter. And this field, Jesus says, is white, ready to harvest. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The prophets in the Old Testament, they all prepared the nation for the coming of the Messiah. Abraham did his part in bringing the children, his son, into the promised land. Isaac did his part. Jacob did their part. All of them did not see the promised land the way that it was, but they did their part. Moses did his part. He did not enter the promised land. Joshua did. Joshua did his part. He brought the people into the land. He distributed the land by lots to all the tribes. He did not see the kingdom as it was in the days of Solomon, where there would be Solomon's temple, but he did his part. All of them did their little part. And that's what God wants us to do our part in holding fast to the will and work of God the Father in your life according to Holy Scriptures. Would you? Would you? If you are not a Christian, deal with your sin. We need to. Because we cannot assume that we can go through today as it was yesterday. Jesus came into this world to die for sinners, for you and for me. And God accepted what He did by raising Him from the dead, for you and for me. That if you were to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ from your heart, Jesus says, I will not turn you away. You will have salvation so rich and so free. And if you and I are truly born again as children of God, you have two options. Do your own will or the will of the Father which is in heaven. You do your own will and you feel nothing wrong about that, you please check your salvation. You and I may not be born again. And if your heart is troubled, come to the Savior. Make right with the Savior and ask Him to forgive you and to cleanse us by His precious blood, that we may now go back to do His will, and you hold fast to it right to the finish line. That's what Jesus did. He is our example. We can do it also because we have a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts once again this morning, O Lord. For some of us in our midst who are outside Thy kingdom, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to such a one. And do not give peace to this person's heart and soul until this person come before the cross of our Savior in humble repentance of sin and cry out to the Savior to come into his life, to be his Lord and his Savior. And for many of us, O Lord, who are your children, how we have gone our own way, forgive us. How we have distanced ourselves from the will and the work of our Father because of our own heart's desire. Forgive us, O Lord. Help us to do the will that Thou hast so vividly recorded for us in Holy Scriptures, to obey the whole counsel of Thy holy book. Make us men and women after Thy own heart, where the meat from henceforth is to do the will of our Father who is in heaven. And strengthen our weak hands that we may not only begin, but also finish this will and work that Thou hast set for each one of us. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.